You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
In a world of 7 billion people and billions of weapons and modern warfare and predator drones and bunker buster bombs and other even much more terrifying weapons of mass destruction, we're not talking about the movies here. Nukes are scary, sure, but in the real world, it's hard to deny the simple power of one mind, one hand, one gun.
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy.
Police, I just heard a shot right behind my house.
They shot the dog dead and entered the house, opening fire on the children and making martyrs of them. Is the two-year-old baby a Taliban?
The suspect has essentially stopped responding to calls from the police.
In the past week or so, we've seen the power of a single person wielding only the weapons he could carry, a simple pistol in one case, the power to hold a nation hostage, a people in fear, a community in anger and outrage, while the whole world watches. In Toulouse, France, in a village in Afghanistan, where an enraged soldier methodically shot 17 people, most of them children. In a peaceful gated community in Florida, where a 17-year-old boy is gone because of the actions of one man.
Like the Unabomber, Son of Sam, and other infamous killers, the Washington area sniper appears engaged in some kind of deadly dance with investigators.
Two men with guns, John Allen Muhammad and Lee Boyd Malvo, held Washington, D.C. hostage back in 2002. In a rampage of random shootings that claimed the lives of 10 people.
A Marine veteran who was an expert marksman shot and killed 10 unsuspecting noontime strollers on the University of Texas campus today, and then he was cut down an hour and a half later by an Austin policeman. When the shooting ended, 30 others were seriously injured.
Some of the bullet holes from sniper Charles Whitman's guns in 1966 are still visible on the University of Texas campus. 16 people died there.
There was two seniors, and they had guns, and they were just shooting. I don't know. Someone came in, and they're like, these kids have guns. These kids have guns. Okay. They came down, and they were just like, get everyone down, get everyone down.
Columbine. The word means shooting. April 1999, two students gunned down 12 fellow students and a teacher. And as you know well, I could go on all day with this list of shootings and shooters and victims from all over the world.
At least 84 people are now confirmed dead after a shocking shooting spree at a Norwegian youth camp. The attack came shortly after a powerful blast in downtown Oslo claimed at least 7 lives.
These incidents are, it seems, much more a signature of our age than the wars that get all the space in the history books. It's hard to know what the inventors of the guns we know today believed back in the 19th century about what they could do. War fighting was about heavy weapons, artillery, rifles.
Colt has been producing the single-action army since 1873, with lots of design changes, but the look is still the same.
The original pistols or sidearms were intended for military use.
Another distinguishing characteristic is the sound that it makes when you cock it.
Envisioned as one small tool for an entire army, this gun was nicknamed the Peacemaker.
Let me show you how it works.
But in our age of instant communication, a single armed person is an entire army, with a power sometimes greater than that of a traditional army. In each shooter, one can see a single actor, a single set of decisions, an eye finding a target, and a finger ending or cutting down a life. Nothing random about this violence.
A sniper identified as 24-year-old Charles J. Whitman started shooting from the observation deck of the 27-story tall University Tower. He fell moving targets blocks away. The terror-filled 90 minutes started at 5 minutes before 12 Austin time, and it was 1:22 when policeman Ramiro Martinez shot Whitman.
And all you have to do is move your little finger. Move your little finger and you can change the world.
They're coming for you.
Stop. Watch my Glock, 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 Glock. It goes pop, pop, pop.
Everybody that lives in this neighborhood has been affected by pop. You gotta watch sometimes where you go.
As you say, you got to have a sense. Sometimes you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You never know. A bullet don't have no name, but...
The pervasive gun culture of our time allows for the possibility that any dispute can end in a shot. Imagining how a scenario would be different if I had or you had a gun is an easy thing for the imagination. And when the gun is not imagined, but real, then so are the consequences. Now, I'm not moaning about the gun lobby or the Second Amendment here. I'm just wondering. We call these weapons of mass destruction. But are they really the weapons we should fear the most? What about that idea of one person and one gun holding off the world? We've been hearing a lot of stories about that this week. The Trayvon Martin case, of course, here in the United States. A listener from Brooklyn sent us this text. Trayvon Martin's case speaks to interracial fears that continue to exist in the United States and, to a certain extent, human limitation of the need to use appearance as a rule of thumb in judging the dangerousness of others. That listener was referring to Trayvon Martin's hoodie sweatshirt. Yesterday, we sent a producer out to talk to people on the street here in New York about that very particular article of clothing and what it means.
People wear hoodies every day.
Because everybody wears hoodies, but it's like, how you wear it?
You can put that in the same whatnot sort of coalition with one another, you know, the 70s Afro is now the hoodie, you know.
It's not negative to attention, but it is suspicion.
The cops automatically affiliate them with crime, wrongdoings, and stuff like that. And I've seen them get harassed. I've seen them just by themselves get harassed.
People allow themselves to justify their discrimination or their racism by some other factor that is meaningless.
How are people profiled? Is it a fashion issue? Is it a color of the skin? Some of our listeners aren't feeling very hopeful about this issue of profiling. Glenn from Michigan sent us this text. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Another listener from Michigan. This incident has taught us nothing. Blacks will continue to view whites as oppressors, and whites will view blacks as guilty until proven innocent. Here's a listener from Atlanta. The Trayvon Martin case says to me that there are many symptoms to the underlying problem of racism in America. There are too many laws being passed that have an adverse and disparaging effect on black males in particular. We want you to get an early jump on all of our conversations, particularly this one. Be a part of our listener response network by signing up for our texts. You'll get one text a day. We'll ask you a question featured on the next day's show, and your voice will become part of the conversation. Start. Text that to 69866 and join the conversation.